Das ist ein Sivan Simon Kufman Tetalacha Aleph, we're going to Halacha Yud Aleph. Very interesting customs that we have when it comes to getting married and having what's called Sheva Brachas. So when it comes to the benching of the first meal, or the benching of all the meals that have, where you're reciting Sheva Brachas, so before you bench, you say the words Devai Hasir. Those that are familiar with this, by Sfaradim, I think they don't. And Ashkenazim, it's like a poem. But it's always like something, one of those words that you're not necessarily, do we know what we're saying? And it's kedai to know. Devai Hasir, Hashem, remove sickness, pain. Devai Hasir v'gam chron, and also wrath. Ve'az yilem v'shir yaron, and then a mute person will sing. Implying that this is something futuristic. And I think there's something very, very powerful here. Because then we also say, Baruch Elokeinu, Shasimcha b'im'oina. We add the words that the joy is in his dwelling, i.e. in Hashem's dwelling. So something, obviously, that we're tapping into, that we're hinting to, I would say, that when it comes to benching, we're really tapping into, even though the joy here is limited, but it's me'ain, it's something of the futuristic joy, which we're going to experience. And that's, by the way, why we say, because it's going to happen in the future. In any case, the kitzur goes on to explain, to say the right words, he says, we're not with a vav, meaning, not with the extra vav. And there's actually an explanation to why is that, because the ikar part of the benching of the zimun is going on the eating, not on shasim chavim oinai. And then, after a person bench, he takes the second cup and he makes six brachas. And then the person that's eating the bench is going to make a bracha berpigavan on the cup that he benched. And interesting, the kitzur says not to fill up both cups before benching. The custom today is to fill up both cups before benching. The idea of why we have two cups is simply because in Malvin Simcha Simcha, we don't want the enos in mitzvahs chavilas chavis, which means we don't try to combine mitzvahs. So we have two separate things here. We have sheva brachas, or the six brachas, and then you have the seventh bracha, which is a very pure gof, and that's why the separate cups. And the chasen today, which the kids doesn't even mention, the idea of mixing the two cups and then giving it to the chasen and kala. Okay, so those are the different customs, and the person has to be careful. Interesting, the kids points out the famous Bach, that in a room that men and women are eating together and there's no separation, the halacha is that you cannot say the words of simcha b'mayneh. Why is that? Because there's lacking of joy. Why is there a lack of joy? Because the Yetzer Hara is shaylet, is in control. So there's already a levush quoted in the Pesachei Teshuva that melam etzchus in today's generation, where hopefully the Yetzer Hara is not so shaylet, perhaps because it's more customary to have men and women eating together. And therefore, there's less of a concern of the Yetzer Hara. Either way, certainly it's what's the word? A hiddle, and to have a mechitza at least when the benching, and that's also a good question that really helps after the meal entirely was together. But the point is that there's what to rely on, and the custom today is to say, but if someone has a mechitza tova la bracha, as long as it creates shalom, and then the kitzur discusses the laws of sheva brachas. When do we say sheva brachas? When do we celebrate only instead of 7 days, 3 days, 1 day? It works like this. If there's someone that's what's called a bachur, the man got married, he was never married before, and he married someone that was never married before, or even if a bachur, I mean someone that was never married before, marries an almana, a widow, or someone that was divorced, the halacha is, or the reverse, someone that's a widow himself, married a lady that was never married before. In all these cases, basically, you make a sheva brachas, meaning the first meal, you make sheva brachas, even if you don't have what's called panim chadashas, because the first meal is after the marriage itself, and even if you didn't eat it that day, meaning you ate the meal at night after the marriage, or even the next day, which is interesting, chiddush of the kitzur, is still considered panim chadashas, like a new face showed up, it's a new ischachas, it's a new joy. Now, but after that first meal for the next 7 days, you need what's called panam chadashos, a new face, that because of those new faces, of that new face, they their chasna kala are more joyful, more reason of joy, and therefore we make the brachas of Shevagin. Otherwise, we're going to end up with just Hasimcha b'mayinoi and Asher Bara, which could happen sometimes. You don't have panim chadashas, so you say Asher Bara and Hasimcha b'mayinoi. And that's what the Kisa goes on to explain. When there's no panim chadashas, if you're eating with a chasen, and if people are eating with a chasen, and not just his household, but because of the joy, so you don't say Dvar Hasel, and you say Neida the Shimcha, which is interesting. I don't think it's a custom today. And Neida Shimcha Vasimcha Bimainai. So you say Vasimcha Bimainai, you don't say Dvar Hasel, and then after Birkas Hamazon, you take the second cup and you say Asher Bara Sasim Simcha, like we said. And then you take the cup of the benching and you make Bar Pi HaGafen. And for this, you don't need 10. Even with 3, you make this bracha. Unless you're just with your household. When my daughter got married, we had Sheva brachas during COVID. We ended up making Asher Bara. We had a little bit of guests or extended family, perhaps. And therefore, we made only Asher Bara. Next, when it comes to Alman Shanos Alman, that means someone that was married before, married someone that's already been married before. So here, it's limited. Remember, it was years ago, I had a discussion about, I was by a wedding, it was the cook, and so he was married, she was already married, and there's a big argument, can they still say Sheva Brachas? Because according to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, it says if they ate the first meal, on the day that they get married, even if the meal extended into the night, you could still make the Brachas. However, according to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, if they did not eat until nighttime, so if there's people that are eating there because, again, of their joy, so you do exactly what we just described before, which is Asher Bara and Asher Simcha B'Mayinai, but that's it. Even if there's Panim Chadashos, and all the meals of the 3 days, that means the first 3 days, because when it comes to someone that was married before, so the halacha is that they have Simcha for 3 days, but the Sheva Brachas really, and we'll see regarding Malacha, but the Sheva Brachas is no Sheva Brachas, and there's only Sheva Brachas, the first meal, and even that, the custom is not like the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch that you could say the first meal, even if it's at night, versus that it slept into the night. But also, the rest of the 3 days, I once had this, I was beside the condition of a couple that both were married already. And the question was, it was a weekend. A lot of times that's what happens, they make a weekend. They do Friday, the wedding, and then there's a weekend. So according to Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, you could still make Asher Bara. Now, what is Panim Chadash? It's a very interesting discussion in Halacha. Panim Chadash is really going on making the Chasan Kala, so to speak, a new chiyuv, a new obligation triggered for the Chasan Kala, or it's actually in the people themselves that each one of us has a mitzvah, so to speak, to participate. And if you're not at the wedding, so therefore now you have an opportunity to make the brachas. So it's really on the person themselves. So this is an Aruch HaShulchan that discusses that, like, the beautiful explanation of the whole breakdown. But bottom line is, Panim Chadash going to Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says, it has to be that because of that person, there's a joy, added joy. That's why, you know, grabbing a waiter that happens to be in a restaurant is very, very schwer, difficult to really rely on. When it comes to interesting Shabbos and Yom Tov Rishon, Yom Tov Sheni, you do not need Panim Chadashos because the meals themselves, which are an obligation, create a new trigger of joy. And that's true on Shabbos, for Shachis, and Friday night, but not Suda Shlishis. Unless the chasen darshan. So this is a real halacha that the chasen says a drasha, and the joy of that drasha creates a new trigger of sheva brachas. If a person invites a chasen akala to eat somewhere, and they designate a day, a room, for them to be able to be alone and to be joyful, so that is considered like a chuppah, and you make sheva brachas. Otherwise, you don't make sheva brachas. By the Sfaradim, they're very makbid on this. If you just have sheva brachas in a restaurant haphazardly, and there's no privacy at all, and there's no house that's been like room private for the chasen akala, you do not say sheva brachas. The custom for the Ashkenazim is that they do, but like I said, by the Sfaradim, they don't. Another interesting halacha that the b'nei chupa, people that were in the chupa, that they got divided into groups. So even if they're in separate houses, they still have an obligation to make sheva brachas, and they can make their own, so to speak, sheva brachas. This definitely fits with the idea that each one is obligated to say sheva brachas. The only ones that don't, the shamashim, that are eating after the meal, do not make these brachas. Shamashim means the waiters. Someone that takes back his divorced wife, they do not say Shasimcha B'mayinai. And in the first meal, on the first day of the marriage, they say Sheva Brachas. And then they don't say any Sheva Brachas. There's a mitzvah to make, to gladden the chazan and kala, the Gemara, beautiful Gemara, Maseches Ksuvos, things in David Zion, to dance in front of the chazan and kala. Interesting that the lashon is l'raka lefanea, to dance in front of the kala and to say she is beautiful and she's chasuda, she is graceful. And we find that Rabbi Bar Eloi, tzaddik, Rabbi Bar Eloi used to dance in front of the kala. The Gemara goes on to explain actually how auspicious and what an incredible reward he got. So definitely this is something so special. A person should never be embarrassed when it comes to dancing. And nevertheless, there's an isser. It's forbidden to gaze at the kala. It's permissible to look at the different jewelry and the covering of her hair. But to gaze at her face, one's not allowed. There's no discussion in the post regarding when a person has to, let's say, for example, being witnesses. But otherwise, where the person should not stare at the kala's wife, at the kala's face. The custom is, and the Kitzur points out this custom, that if a kala was tamid, I mean she was a nida at the time of marriage, afterwards at the night which she is going to the mikveh, they make a meal and invite people, but the Kitzur says this is improper. When it comes to going to the mikveh, this is something that we keep modest in modesty, and therefore it's inappropriate. And if they do, it's more like the household, and they say it's just simple money, you don't have to protest, but Shabbat certainly don't make. And that is the end of the halachas for today.